Recording. Cool. Now let's just try to forget about this hulking mass of stuff hanging around my neck and pretend that we're just talking.
What, are you recording?
Yep, just turned it on. So since I've got this thing pointing this way, if you would stand on this side of me, I think that'll work perfect.
All right. That's good, because this is the side I am accustomed to.
It is a little overcast, hope it doesn't start raining. So, you just got back from California.
This is true.
And I was thinking maybe to kick things off, although this is an incredibly dreary topic, but I was just thinking about it, is moving depression. Because this guy Jeremy, who moved into the place I lived in Queens, he was my replacement, he apparently went through a pretty bad patch a week or two ago of just like all of his Twitters were like, oh, woe is me, everything sucks, blah.
Yeah.
And my natural prejudiced inclination would be to be like, well, you just moved to New York and I know exactly where you live and how far it is from everything.
Right.
But maybe it's just moving in general, because I mean, I guess I've kind of the same thing has happened to me when I think back. Every time I move somewhere, it kind of sucks at first.
I find I get really used to things and really, you know, happy about things relatively quickly. I mean, this California trip, that had different circumstances where, you know, there were a shit ton of things, you know, stresses and pressures going on because I was going, you know, for my job.
Right, so it was more just problems and
I was leaving my house in the hands of a criminal.
Right.
Right? I wasn't happy about that at all, and I was absolutely depressed, but for all, and, you know, when I got there, I was like, oh, man, you know, these guys seem to want an awful lot, yeah, but everything work-wise turned out fine, and so now I'm happy, right? And if the trip had not been, like, for a whole month, if it had been for, like, 1 week or 2 weeks, I wouldn't have thought twice about it, really, but it just seemed, I was like, all the shit that could go wrong just always occurs to me, which is, I guess, is why I'm good at my job, which is a quality assurance analyst.
Right.
Hey, ladies, that's pretty sexy, right? Yeah, anyway.
And, I guess I had nowhere really to go with that, because then I'm just thinking back to the various times I moved places, and I could tell sad stories, but then I'm like, maybe I won't.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's like, you know, like, I didn't drive in California, and that is, like, the stupid... I'm not going back there unless I can drive. It's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah, that definitely seems like a deal breaker, because, like, for me to go there.
Yeah. So, in fact, I told two of the people there, I was like, you know, I am going to learn how to drive when I get... Or I'm going to, you know, get more comfortable learning how to drive, or comfortable driving.
Yeah, you're a bigger one up on me, because you actually have a license.
Yeah.
And have driven a car before.
Yeah, totally. And, what do you call it? And that's the thing, like, by the end of it, I could see, oh yeah, I could get around here, I'd be fine, right? But, you know, near the beginning, especially when they moved me to, like, the closer hotel that was still, like, 2 miles away from everything.
Those were some swank hotels, though. They put you up pretty nice.
Those were swank hotels, yeah.
Just like a nice little, like a little apartment. Like, that's just so cool. It's got its own little kitchen, its own little everything.
Yeah, it turns out the fridge was not set to actually keep things cold at the beginning.
Oh, really?
And I didn't find out until like the last night. It kept things cool enough, right? But it was like at the minimum coldness.
I guess maybe they do that just if there's no one in the room.
Yep. Hmm. Yep.
That's lame. I'll have to remember that in future.
Yeah, and I did get to use the jacuzzi tub thing that was in that, on the final night. I decided, okay, I'll try it. Because, you know, I was like, if I screw something up and there's water everywhere, well, I'm leaving in the morning. And, it worked out fine. Except I was in there for, like, you know, 20 minutes, and then the phone rang. And I was like, huh. And it's like, you know, my friend Jeremy called. And I was like, okay, you know. I talked with him for 2 hours and then had to go to bed because I was going to bed in the morning. So
I assume you got out of the jacuzzi, right?
I did indeed get out. If I could have stayed there, I would have because, you know, right? Like, why? What difference would it make? Right? I would just be jacuzziing. But it turns out the whirlpool aspect of that tub, either I didn't know how to operate it, which I didn't, but, you know, I pressed the button to turn it on and it didn't seem to be doing anything, like, much, right? Just a little whir. I thought maybe it was broken or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Because I think mostly, like, there's places in the States that I always thought sounded nice to go to. Like, I wouldn't mind going to Boston or going to Seattle, but I know what's going to be there, you know? California was kind of the unknown, like, different enough culturally.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if I went to, like, San Francisco or San Diego or something, it would be different, right?
This was, yeah, I think San Francisco is probably still
LA
on my radar.
The LA area, and it was, you know, like I say, the roads are named, like, I guess a lot of roads now that I think about it. So many things that I didn't think about it until I got, you know, somewhere where things are a little different. Just different enough to make you think about things and you realize, oh yeah, the place here is, you know, worked out mostly the same. You know, like, roads here are kind of named for where they go as opposed to, you know, what's on them, because that makes sense. But until, like, there weren't any streets that had anything on them.
And I'm sure part of it in, like, I mean, you were in L.A. for just the day, right? The one day, but...
I was in L.A. for, yeah, like, 12, 14 hours. But, like, you know, most of that was, like, in actual L.A. proper. So I made, like, an 18-hour day of it, right? You know, so there was the train there. Then there was, like, 3 hours at the fucking bus station and 2 hours... So 5 hours. Yeah, so, like, 7 of those 18 hours. Yeah, I had about 11 hours in Hollywood proper and went up to Universal City and stuff like that. It was pretty neat.
So was it at all a case of kind of, I think what happened with me in New York a lot was the hype machine, you know, misled me as to what to expect. So LA is definitely, it's got it.
LA has a huge hype machine. I got to see it a little bit in action, you know, because I, you know, I did take the Universal Studios tour and they were, you know, I couldn't tell really what was real or not, or I mean, I could tell what was not real, but I couldn't tell if anything it was.
Right.
Right. And I'm assured by people who have actually worked on the studio backlot that, yes, that is the one. You know, they actually do shoot things there.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. The Bates Motel was still, well, it was erected there. I was like, that's weird. Like, I bet they don't get to use that often.
Well, they did make, like, 5 Psycho movies.
Did they?
And a remake.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wonder if they used the actual... I wonder if they used the old Bates Motel for the remake. I don't know. I'm sure they would have told us. They told us, like, everything. Yeah, but every so often in the ride, they have this thing where, like, oh, we've got permission to, like, get you in here. And whenever they'd say that they were allowed to do something, that's when, like, this huge fake theme parky thing would crop up. And they'd, like, blow fire at us.
Yeah, and just like, yeah, you're the first people to ever be allowed in here while red light's on.
It's like, you know, and I was just laughing my ass off most of the time when that, you know, kind of thing happened. Although some things were kind of neat, you know. One thing was a flash flood, and at first I thought, wow, that's a cool effect, but now I sure as hell, they didn't use this in a movie, did they? And then they showed us the movie they used the flash flood effect in. I was like, okay, that's cool. I recant a bit. And that's the thing, you know, like, I went to L.A., and like I say, all that other, you know, or, you know, the Ventura area and all that, it's like, you know, the reason I, you know, didn't like it at first was because I was, you know, I was so uncertain about work.
Right.
And wasn't able to get around. So those are the real two negatives. And yes, you know, there aren't a lot of my kind of people really, you know, down there that I could tell, you know. I don't know where they would be though, you know. I'm an oddball in any context, really.
like a hound.
Yeah, Montreal. I don't know. Sure was nice. I definitely could feel a tug.
Well, I'm planning on going there next, right? You know, as soon as I can. Until the winter sets in which case I'm not going to be terribly interested in going anywhere.
Even then, I think I might just to see what it's like again. Yeah, I mean, I was there in the winter before, but.
Well, there are record highs and lows, right?
Right.
We got that last year. Right? So, we got their records last year, right? And last year was not record high or low for either for this place. So I'm like, I think that place would be more temperate.
And the one time I was there in the winter was like literally in like, February. Like, as long as I go a little bit toward either end, I think that'd be a better test of what it would be like to live there all year.
Yeah. The LA skyline was very unimpressive.
So that area around, I don't know, you were close enough to see the Hollywood sign because you got a couple pictures.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was Hollywood.
Yeah, right.
I was actually in Hollywood when I took those pictures.
But I just assumed that everything within viewing distance of that sign would be, I don't know, a super amazing movie miracle.
Yeah, kind of me too, right? Yeah. Like, not really. Like, I've been there long enough to realize, okay, this is, right? And I mean, Hollywood Boulevard, that Walk of Fame, the stars and shit.
Right.
Not very interesting to me because, it's just, marble and metal and shit, right? But, I don't have this kind of, thrill by association that a lot of other people have, right?
Right.
The closest I can get to that is porn. And that, only lasts so long.
Well, just like the fact that you were in Oxnard.
That was more interesting to me than walking.
And to me, it was just because that's where Opie and Maggie are from in Love and Rockets.
So like, to me, it's because it's one of those weird towns that people make fun of in, movies.
Right.
All right. It's like, oh, he's in Oxnard. Oxnard. What's he doing in Oxnard? Not much, man. Not much, bro. In Oxnard.
Did you meet any surfer dudes?
Oh, did I ever meet surfer dudes? And of course they're not too bad. I met three or four people who knew Jack Johnson personally.
Are we going to Isaac's Way or something?
Yeah, I knew three or four. I met three or four people. The guy I worked with, who played the music, he knew Jack Johnson personally.
Wow.
I mean, not very well, but like when they yeah, like everyone like my age, give or take a couple years, right? Went to UC Santa Barbara and knows Jack Johnson from that, that era. Huh. Apparently he's the mellowest person on the planet. Right? You cannot get under his skin at all.
I guess I shouldn't dislike a man for that.
No, it's not. Yeah, like that's the thing. Like after hearing about, they said, I can't stand his music, but
Is this?
Oh, I didn't know whether it was open or not. Yeah, it's like can't take his music, but he was a nice guy and everything. So I'm willing to not hate him, but I still can't listen to But. Hey, John. John Henry. Other dude.
Other dude.
Sorry.
So hey, John and John, it's been literally years. Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, Brad said you were doing like videography stuff.
Yeah, I was in New York for a while, and I don't recommend it. I didn't like it. It's nice to be home. It's too big for me. I'm too small town. I'm too Fredericton.
I just got back from California. It's ridiculous. I don't recommend it either.
Fuck America.
I don't drive, so.
My trucker buddy says New York is a nice place to visit, but the whole time.
Leave your things behind, 'cause it's all going off without you. Excuse me, too busy, you're writing your tragedy. These mishaps you bubble wrapped when you've no idea what you're like. So let go, let go. Jumping, oh, what you waiting for? It's alright, 'cause there's beauty. hiding. Oh, it's so amazing here. It's alright, 'cause there's beauty in the breakdown. It gains the more it gives, the man it rises with the fall. So hand me that remote. Can't you see that all that stuff's a satchel? Such boundless pleasure. We've no time for leaving now. You can't wait your own arrival. You 20 seconds to comply. So let go, let go. Just jump in. Oh,
Let Go by Fru Fru.
Now we can continue to have our pithy insights.
Yes, this is true. Yeah, yeah. So, there we go. Hey.
Nice. We're bugging you like the KGB.
There we go. I think that's going to be good. And if it's not, it's my fault, I guess.
I'm always halfway assuming that these things will just not record anyway.
That's
I make my peace with it right away.
Yeah, so did I meet Surfer Dudes? Yeah, yeah, I met Surfer Dudes. It was, you know, one of the guys that I was working with was a hardcore surfer dude.
Right.
You know? And
they have jobs? Surfer dudes have jobs?
Surfer dudes have jobs. They work tech support. Yeah. And this guy, actually, it's weird. He came back because he also plays with the other guy, you know, in the musical duo. And, you know, they had a show. And the next... Thank you. You two ready to order?
Yeah, could I get the wings and chips with the hottest hot sauce?
Hot sauce, yeah, sure.
And lemon pepper haddock tips, please.
French fries on the side?
Yes, please. So, yeah. One day, this is one of the days that I was observing him, right, for the work. And so I was watching him, and I thought he was illiterate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's just how uncharitable I am toward people initially, right? Right. I was like, oh my god, you know, this guy was just staring at his screen for so long after he typed a message. And I was like, I felt like going, look, the typos are underlined in red and they're right there. He was looking for typos and wasn't really noticing them either, right? Like, you know, I watched him send them. And then I realized, no, he's just, I realized like 2 weeks later, wait, he's just fucking tired from, you know, having gone, you know, put on a show the previous night, right? Yeah, because, like, you know, he was never that bad again, but that was the day right before the July 4th weekend, right?
Right.
You know? And I was just like, oh my god, what am I working with?
Right? I did hear, I don't remember the exact percentage, but, like, you know, per 5 minute period, you know, the average person only works 3 minutes or less. I don't know. Like a lot of the workday is not working.
I heard that the workday was, I heard the average office worker actually only manages to get like an hour and a half of useful work done every day.
Maybe. I really think like that whole sort of French method of working 4 days a week. Or it's just better, you know? Like, if you...
Could be. Well, if you don't have as much time to do it in, you might actually, you know, make better use of it. That's how I look at it.
Right, and I just think you would hate the world less if you had more time off.
That's the thing, yeah. It's really true. Jeez.
Apparently, I don't know where he had learned this, but Matt claims that rent in Montreal is not that bad because that's... They can't do the four-day work week like in France, but they still have that French ideal of better quality of life, so
they do. I'm definitely going there then.
So you can spend your money on stuff. Yeah.
Like I have an odd feeling that I will love Montreal.
I remember like the very first day I was a little down about it because it was just a miserable day. And then it picked up really fast after that. I just feel like this weird tidal pull, kind of like I did to New York. Like, it's just inevitable. Eventually, I'm going to end up there.
Yeah.
For at least a while.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. And after checking it out, I imagine I'll be like, okay, good. I have a destination, city. Because, Vancouver is nice, or I think, but, it is a little, it's a little far.
Yeah, if they could just switch positions, it'd be awesome.
Oh, man, yeah. But then again, if they switch positions, they, wouldn't that be weird? Just take the buildings and the stuff that's in Montreal and take everything would be totally ill-suited to wherever they are, right? Yeah. It's like if you took Fredericton and stuck it on the St. John Harbor there. Like, no. Probably wouldn't work.
Now, that is one weird thing, though, about this whole, like, podcast stuff that I do, is I don't know why, but the sort of excitement of being in Montreal, I feel like it did not come through very well in these podcasts that I did out there. It's weird. I'm listening back to them, and I'm like, this is kind of boring, but I had all kinds of fun that day.
Right, right.
Very, very weird.
Yeah. Like I say, just incredibly, insightful my trip was, to California, but it's really hard to quantify that insight, right? I can't, it's one of those things where you keep wondering whether you're going to run into a place where people are, like, vastly different than what you're used to, right? And it's like, yes and no, right? If you really know people well, they all kind of reveal a kind of similar character, although people down there were a little bit harder and a little bit more mercenary than I'm used to, and,
Oh, so how much silly business speak did you end up? Because, earlier today, Brad was showing me a book he got of
The Dictionary of Corporate Bullshit, right?
Right.
Which I just happened to have in my room.
Just ridiculous terms that,
best of breed.
Right.
Best practices. Deets.
Yeah. Like, for some reason, the office is not as good an example as it should be for some reason, but that's all I'm thinking of. It's just silly things that a dumb boss would say.
It's weird. No, they were just mostly, like, it was just a small company, and they were, some people were a little over their heads, and I was one of them initially. I was like, what the hell is going on here? But in the end, it wasn't a lot, but there was this, one thing that they do, and they do that here too, is that they use the word challenge.
Oh, yeah, you're bringing, was this what you were telling me the other day?
Challenge, this is just plain business speak. I'll talk about the other thing in a second here. Yeah, the word challenge, right? It's like you're not allowed to say the word problem.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And I felt a little dirty. In my report, I did use the word challenge. But I feel I used it correctly, but I didn't want to because of the connotation it has in my mind of being a bullshit word,
right?
It's where you want to say, we're fucked, right? And you say, we have a challenge.
Insurmountable challenge.
Oh, no. No, you can't even, it's weird, right? Like, you're supposed to maintain, managers are supposed to maintain the illusion of control at all times. And it's actually a kind of a testament to the hierarchy of power that anyone gets away with this at all, right? It's like, you don't know what the hell's going on, do you? It's like, well, we have a few challenges. that sort of thing. And as soon as someone uses the word challenge in the way that, like, what I described really is a challenge. It's something that they, that is hard to do, but can be done and can be tackled, and it is difficult, right? And it's a challenge. It's something that pops right out at you, and you gotta handle it now. That's a challenge, right? I challenge you to an arm wrestling match. Just like that, right?
Right.
And what I was describing is very much like the entire internet challenging the business to a wrestling match, wrestling match, sure, yeah, right? It's like, oh, you want to keep your website up 24 hours a day. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that these phrases, like how it must happen, is it's like you learn enough of them, and it's like your suit of armor in a weird sort of, like Serenity Now way of not freaking out. You can just go to your
bullshit place. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, because, absolutely. In some ways.
And part of it is just, it's the way that they talk, and if you start doing the business stuff, like, you know, I try to maintain a very low ratio of bullshit.
One thing I was going to bring up, it's really not quite the same, but how easy it is to fall into just whatever the group is doing, no matter how dumb, is when I worked as a dishwasher, I was only there for like a month, or I can't remember. First I thought it was 2 weeks, then a month, I don't remember my own past, but they had a thing which made sense but was very gay, where since it was this loud, crowded kitchen, and you could be yelling stuff at someone and they might not honestly hear, or they're just blanking it out, or you might think they heard and but they didn't acknowledge you. So they had this whole process where you had to say the person's name, like say I was talking to you, I'd go, "Brad, may I speak?" And you say that to superiors and inferiors alike, although I was the dish pit guy, so everyone was my superior. But you say it just because it is such a queer sentence that it cuts through the din,
and then
you don't say anything else till they acknowledge that they're listening to you.
And I was like,
that is the dumbest thing ever, but you just start doing it because everyone does it, and it's weirder not to.
Yep, and that's the thing. And when people are... And there's this thing, what sucks is when it starts seeping down into the ranks, right? Because, you know, when two people with an MBA are shaking hands and they look your way, you should run,
right?
You know, because they have agreed to screw you, you know, in some way, you know, or rather they're happy about something, and it's like, that can't be right, you know?
Or I was just thinking, for an example from the office, like Gareth, you know, like I could see, like, he's not the boss, but he uses the boss speak, and it's like, shut up.
Yeah, and that's people imitating the people higher up in the hierarchy to, you know, to make it seem like they are, you know, suited for the anyone who wants to be a manager should be shot.
Right.
Right? You know, like, I say that. No, sorry, they need their heads straightened out.
It's a little bit like wanting to be a cop or something.
Well, no, I mean, wanting to be a cop, I can see that, right? You know, wanting to be a firefighter, I can see that, you know? But, wanting to be the Leatherman, I don't know. People with... You know, and anyone who wants to be a manager, I heard a guy while I was, you know, was at a company, you know, not one of the ones right now, but anyway, old place I used to work.
Hey,
thank you.
Thank you.
Name and tip.
Oh.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Oh, cheers, guys, and drinks.
So I heard a guy, and he said, you know, he's like, "Oh man, you know, I just really want to get into management, get some people under me." I'm like, "God damn it, that is not, fuck, you know, like, God, it's the most horrible attitude I can think of."
You're like, "Hey, let's never hang out."
Yeah, exactly. I was so happy when he left, just because I felt his presence was kind of poisonous. He was happy when he left because he, you know,
wanted to be a manager,
and he wanted to have, you know, just so he could have people to boss around, right? He, you know, or whatnot. See, I like being project lead, because that means I get to do stuff, and, you know, I get to, you know, I don't enjoy telling other people what to do, because I want to do it all myself. But if I have to, I will, and I do, and it's great, you know. But yeah, I want to be a manager, so not so that he can, I don't know. What a horrible. So yeah, there was only one guy that used like manager speak, and he was, you know, the manager.
All right. That guy sounds like a manager.
Yeah,
you should make him a manager.
He was trying. He succeeded. You know, and you know, I can't blame him too hard or anything like that. You know. Yeah. So that place was very, you know, the place was a very, very nice place, full of, you know, very good people who actually were good at what they did. But like I say, that one day just freaked me out, where the guy was so tired.
Right.
Right. Oh, geez. You know.
Yeah. I had a day like that too when I was a skip tracer.
Oh.
I was still training, so they literally just had me call random names out of the phone book and pretend that I was. That's what we would do. It was to try to find debtors. So we would call their, like, friends and family and be like, so-and-so got a job or won a contest or whatever, and we need the contact info. So I would just do that to random people.
Nice.
And there was one day, just to try shit out, and there was one day I was so exhausted, like, just so tired. I remember I just ended up, like, calling the same number over and over just so it looked like I was doing something.
Ouch.
And it was ridiculous. No job should start at, like, 7 a.m.
That's true. Yeah, well, for the last week I was in California, my job started at 7 a.m.
Man.
Yeah. I got out at 4. So that was kind of good. I had more day to myself. So, California. Speech pattern. I have yet to figure out how they use the words go ahead.
Oh yeah, go ahead. That was the one.
Yeah. Like the first day and a half I was there, I thought I was going nuts trying to, you know, the little part of my brain that actually is a rather giant part of my brain that tries to rapidly decipher the syntax of other people, right? And it was just getting this go ahead all the time. I was like, it was breaking my brain. You know, I was like, what the fuck? Okay, how do you use this? How do they use this in a sentence? And they were using it in a bunch of different ways, both in the, you know, like, well, go ahead sense, and in the, okay, here's something I'm actually telling you to do this, as in the why don't you, you know, it's like instead of saying why don't you get the door, they'll say you can go ahead and get the door.
How's everything with the food, guys?
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of mildly condescending sounding in that sense.
Yeah, exactly. There's that. So, and then there's the I'm gonna go ahead and, right? So there's, yeah. And that's like the warning one. That's the like, okay, you know, I'm gonna do this and I'm not thinking about it anymore. So if there's something I should know, you better stop me. Right? You know? So I'm gonna go ahead and do this. It's a warning. One's a warning, one's an imperative, and one is just the way that, you know, one is, okay, it's time, which is the way I'm used to it, right? So, yeah. Oh, man, but I heard the words go ahead more times in that first day and a half than I...
Isn't that what the,
maybe in my entire life, I think any given year of my entire life, I think I didn't hear it that many times.
Isn't that what the annoying manager guy said in Office Space?
Yes,
could
yes.
Could you please let's go ahead and whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It was so weird to me. I didn't hear the word, one thing I noticed, I didn't hear the word like as much, you know, down there. So I was kind of, when I tried to explain it to people down there, say, well, you know, we have words we use like, you know, and you know, that's kind of me.
I always think of, there's a thing in The Simpsons where Ken Brockman was talking about the lowbrow expressions that the poor side of Springfield uses, such as, come here a minute. So every time I hear someone say, come here a minute, I always think of The Simpsons and how lowbrow North Side is.
Yeah, but you think of The Simpsons, like, how many times a day?
Not as many as I used to, but it's a good... If there was a pie chart, it would be visible.
That's a good way of putting it. But yeah.
It would be an edible slice.
Mmm, there we go. Mmm, fish that doesn't taste like the harbor. Mm-mm-mm. So I kind of, you know, figured out how go-ahead works, I think. But I never did get comfortable using it in a sentence. You know? Mainly because I just think it sounds kind of douchey, but it's not. It's just how they talk down there, and it's, you know, it's just different. You know? Look at my leg that I lost as a kid. Look at my leg, sweat it out, sweat it out. Look at my leg that I lost as a kid. Fish hook in my leg, sweat it out, sweat it out. Bed in a hotel, bed in a field. You lay in it now, you make it. Bed in a hotel, bed in a field. You lay on him now, you make him. An eye for a spine on the side of the road. An eye for a spine, sweat it out. Sweat it out. He's got an eye for a spine on the side of the road. He knows how to use his hands and mouth. Bed in a hotel, bed in a field. You lay in it now, you make it. Bed in a hotel, bed in a field.
Interested in is the big city, small city, you know, dichotomy. So besides Halifax, is this pretty much the, I'm trying to think if there's been anywhere else that you've visited in recent years.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was New York,
I guess, right?
So
I guess, yeah, like what's it like to come back, you know?
Well, I mean, the town I went to has approximately the same population as this area.
Except for some reason with 50 times more boats.
Yes, that is something. I think it's because that particular harbor, you know, serves a fairly large area of both Ventura and Oxnard.
Yeah, when we were looking at your pictures, that was a shit ton of boats.
That wasn't even the portion that the frame would fit in the frame, right? Like, geez, I couldn't find, you know, I don't know what kind of, where you'd have to be to, you know, show all the boats, but Jesus Christ. So many boats. And, yeah, I didn't take any pictures in Ventura proper. And that's because it just, you know, just looks a little like Halifax. It was a lot like Halifax, actually. I like Halifax a little more, but Halifax would have four times the population as well. So. But Oxnard, that was interesting. On the on my third day in Oxnard, I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm going crazy in the surroundings of the hotel. I gotta go to Target. Right, I gotta go somewhere, right? Anywhere.
Just find their like the part of the store where they sell like recliners and just sit down or like beach stuff.
Well, no, I was you know shopping around for a guitar, right?
Right.
And you know, and Target has you know it's a Walmart. Well, not really, but you know, it's the closest thing to Walmart maybe that they had in that area. I mean, I would have wanted to go to Target anyway. Thing is, the first time I tried to, you know, to go to the Target, I actually didn't make it. I crossed an actual set of tracks, and I was on the wrong side, and I got scared and actually turned around and said, okay, I'm going to do this tomorrow, when there's more sun. Right, the sun was setting, or I thought it was. There actually would have been plenty of time, but by the time the sun's that low where we are, it gets dark, you know. Not terribly quick, but it gets a lot darker quicker, right? So, yeah.
That's another thing I find interesting. It seems to be an American phenomenon,
but
mostly.
An actual set of tracks. That was the weird thing.
But yeah, it's like crushing poverty, like whole neighborhoods that are horrible. Like, there was that one part of Vancouver that was pretty rough. But besides that, I can't think of any Canadian examples where it's like that quick, where you just go from nice to terrible, back to nice, back to terrible.
Yeah, yeah, here's the thing. I could see the Target. Right? I could see the Target store. And in trying to navigate there, I had taken a wrong turn. And, you know, there can't have been more than, like, you know, 1,000 feet between me and the Target store. But that was enough. Like, you know, it was bad enough in the little area I had crawled into that I was like, you know, I don't want to keep walking through this. And I think that's partially because I had been warned so much. Like, you know, on my first day there, you know, they drove me around Ventura and was like, okay, see this area, this area, this area, yeah, this is all good. See this street, you turn the other way. I was like, I see, okay. Now let's go the other way. Like, they showed me, like, the boundaries of, you know, of where to go. And I decided, you know, I'm not gonna take too many chances on this one, you know?
You know, that reminds me of when I was in Halifax, the guy Kale I was staying with.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a text midway through the day. He's just like, hey, by the way, there's been a rash of stabbings, so stay out of the bad neighborhoods. So I texted back, like, I don't know where the bad neighborhoods are. And he's like, I know. That's why I sent you this. This will freak you out all day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Halifax is the most violent city in Canada.
That's what they say, but I can't really take it serious, you know? It's like, what does that mean? Like, the worst, I don't know, the most depraved Teletubby? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, that's Stinky Winky, right?
Clearly, yeah. He's the most deviant.
Yes.
But the being able to see the Target and not being able to get there, that... It's not quite the same situation, but apparently that happens a lot in California, because did you ever see Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah. It was filmed partially in Ventura.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then they actually blew up part of the town for Swordfish, a movie that came out with
Halle
Berry and John Travolta and Hugh Jackman. And I think Halle Berry was in it, too. Yeah, they blew up part of the town for that, and actually that's where the nice part of town comes from. That's how it was described to me. They were like, yeah, you see, what happened was they blew up part of town for a movie, and then they gave them a whole bunch of money to rebuild, so they've kept that area nice ever since. So it turns out the entire city was actually just, you know.
So they never heard of CGI, like they actually exploded things?
I don't know. Don't look at me, right? You know, hey, maybe everyone was like, you know, that's the thing. Maybe is what happened was, yeah, this guy said he lived there. Our friend of his lived in, you know, one of the areas, and there was, he heard gunshots, right? And he was talking with the police officer about that, and they go, well, we don't actually respond to anything in that area, that particular area of the city, the North Ventura, unless there's a body.
Ah.
Yeah, we don't respond to anything in North Ventura unless there's a body. And you see, that's you know, you can tell that's going to put a little bit of a cramp on my style, right? Now, I didn't go to Harlem when I was, you know, in New York. plot.
It was quite frightening. Me and it was when I was there, Matt Bray set up a thing to go to Dinosaur Barbecue, his favorite barbecue place. And me and Relic were trying to drive there, and we got lost. And it took us forever to get there. And just driving through some of those neighborhoods up near there, horrifying, just terrible.
Yeah, so.
But yeah. That's where I saw McNally Boulevard. Usually on par with Malcolm X Boulevard, I'm sure.
So I never did make it to Compton to do my laundry.
That'd be awesome just to say that you did.
It would have been, but the thing was like, Jesus, no. No, I'm just a pasty little white boy. I should not go anywhere near that sort of thing. So Little Miss Sunshine, though, because I listened to the commentary track for that because I was bored, and there's a part where like they're trying to get to the convention center, but they can't because of all the weird roundabouts and stuff, and the director said that didn't really capture what it's really like. It's way, way worse than that. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like
insane,
you can see
right?
things from miles away and you can't get to them.
Yeah, it's nuts, right? Like, I have a map of the Los Angeles area, right, or Los Angeles proper, and like... They show the streets, right? And it looks like knots out of a math textbook.
Right.
Right? You know, it's amazing. It looks like someone took spaghetti and then twisted it and spread it out and then added more spaghetti. Right? Just in these spots. Like, I was like, Jesus, what the... You know? And there was the thing, I needed to chart out a course to the mall because I thought I was going to be able to get a gig bag for the guitar I had. It turns out that they weren't able to order it because it would have taken longer to arrive than I had left in town. So I'm glad I called. But while I was mapping out the way there, I'm glad I had Google Maps to show me you know, how the streets were laid out.
All right.
Because if I had gone what I would have thought the obvious shortest way,
right.
There, you are only able to turn like right off that instead of left, which you would have needed to. So you actually have to go like some other ridiculous way. It's not that bad, That is an example of how bad it is, right? And yet people seem to manage to get to places on time and things like that. It's just kind of this, when things are like that big and complicated people are remarkably good at estimating how long it's going to take them to get to places because it's uniformly shitty.
Right.
Right? But driving totally warps a person's sense of how close things are, especially if you're like Californians and you've driven everywhere you've ever gone in your entire life. It just totally warps their sense of how close things are. Oh, there's a Taco Bell like 2 minutes from where you are. No. Oh, there's a Taco Bell an hour from where I am. You are crazy. there might be a Taco Bell 3 minutes from where you are. Traveling at a mile an hour. Traveling at 60, a mile a minute. When you travel 3 miles an hour, that's an hour.
You know, though, if this does turn out, I really like restaurant sounds. I like the sounds of people ordering and eating.
It is nice. Yeah, I like that. I met all kinds of server dudes. There was one guy. I met him on the way home from L.A., rather on the way to Ventura from L.A., and shit, man, this guy was hilarious. Because he also knew Jack Johnson, and he,
Did you want another beer there?
No, I think I'm okay.
You're okay?
And, he also knew Jack Johnson, and there was something else. He ran a cannabis, dispensary, right? Like, for medical, marijuana. But it's so hilarious, because, like, the first thing that he worked that into the conversation as quickly as humanly possible.
Right.
It's like, I smoke, you see? It's like, and I didn't have to ask, smoke what?
Right. Right.
And almost no one smokes tobacco down in California.
So it's either weed or crack?
I don't know. I have no idea what the drug problems are like down there,
I don't suppose you're going to eat that lemon like a crazed animal. You mind if I do?
Go right ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, on the way home.
It's pretty sour.
Or not on the way home, on the way there, for like the week before I left, I had the theme song to the OC stuck in my head. Where it goes.
How does that one go? I don't want to wait for...
No, that's Dawson's Creek.
It's all the same.
No, this one goes... It's all I could remember from the song. It was California. California. Right? Like, yeah. And, yeah. I'm California dreaming. And, you might be safe and warm in L.A., but... Well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's just a matter of being maladapted to that kind of place.
It's just weird, too, to grow up in different environments where it would get pretty cold in New York, and I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And I end up be dying.
Yeah.
But then in the summer when it was hyper hot...
She was from Florida.
Yeah, she was like, this is great. There's nothing better than feeling, sweat drops run down your body, and I could barely breathe,
How many people listen to your podcast again?
It's going down. Oh, it's weird that there's not that many numbers. If you look at the numbers, they don't look that impressive. But I get a fairly steady stream of correspondence based on it.
Yeah.
Like, it seems... I don't know, because on the other hand, Keith and Hemda have 500,000 people, but they have 41 tattoos. Like, no one has 41 tattoos of their logo. But they do. Like, there's...
Yeah.
So either the numbers are weird, or it's just that internet fans in general are that much more dedicated.
They are. Yeah. Also, and you seem super approachable.
I guess,
right?
Yeah.
You know? It's like...
But that's what I like, is like, I kind of just don't even check the numbers that much these days, because I'd rather not know.
Yeah.
But I, because it's, I was lower than it, I wanted
to
be.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it's very nice just to get emails and stuff. I got an $86 donation the other day. A guy gave me a dollar for each episode of Pam Radio.
Jesus.
Which is up to 90-some now, but it was 86 at the time, so
yeah.
He couldn't foresee that I was going to make more.
Oh, shit.
Again, like, stuff like that. It's just nice. I mean, I'll blow the 86 bucks pretty fast, but that's a definite sign of approval. Mm. I got, like, $50 from a girl in Australia a while ago, and, like...
Yeah, but, I mean, that was for services rendered, right?
Right. No, but this is one of those things where it's, like, it was a weird donation. They didn't really come with a, you know, a real
explanation.
This glass
is cracked.
Huh. Send it back. But, no real explanation or, you know, like, story behind the donation, just, I like your podcast, here you go. So I've always kind of got to keep in mind, like, that chick's still out there, she's still listening. You know, I can't stop, she gave me $50. Not that I would anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
If anything, I'm ahead of myself. This song goes out to a good friend of mine. He lives life in the forest. Yeah, every single day. I'm liking this little music video thing, because
totally.
I plan to segue it into more of a variety show sort of, you know, like a little, well, like, for instance, I've got this little video I took on the Keith and the Girl cruise for explaining how to make a peanut butter and bacon sandwich that I never used because it just wasn't funny enough to put on YouTube, but I could put that in here, why not?
It wasn't funny enough for YouTube.
Yeah.
You heard it here. You heard it here first, folks.
Or even with, like, these various dalliances in the animation I've been considering. Again, I can just, like, do an animated song throw. Me and Stefan came up with a really good idea the other day.
Cool, cool.
Based on this news story about, or press release or something, Marilyn Manson.
Apparently,
go ahead.
He was scheduled to play the night I left.
That's too bad.
I know. I would have gone. Yeah, had I been there that weekend, I would have totally gone to see Marilyn Manson.
His last couple albums were bad, but...
But yeah, like, so what? It's, I would have been able to say, I saw Marilyn Manson in Ventura, and that would have been, you know, something.
So, apparently Marilyn Manson, he was dating Rachel Evan Woods, the chick who was the daughter in The Wrestler.
And okay.
She, even though she's half his age, she broke up with him, and he was so distraught, he cut his wrist once for every time that he called her and she didn't answer. Which is like 40 times.
Wait, that doesn't seem healthy.
And he's a 41-year-old man. It's like, will you stop it? He's not funny anymore. Anyway, me and Stefan came up with this thing that I think I'll draw as a little animated cartoon. The guy calls, no answer, cuts, and he's all like, I'm going to cut myself once for every time you don't answer. But then on the next call, she picks up, and he's like, oh, well, hi, I didn't think you'd answer. So how are you doing? You know, and just turns into a total little bitch, and then... and hangs up and cuts himself again.
Fuck that bitch.
How's your mother? You know? I don't know, though. I started using this program called Toon Boom that, you know, they use for Fox animation and whatever. I really think I'll be better off just sticking with Sony Vegas, even for these. Like, that's how crude my plans are for animation. I literally don't need any of its fancy abilities.
Huh. I should have a look at that, actually. You know, why not? Just throw another thing on the fire.
I guess a lot of the Toon Boom thing is it's like you draw within the program, and I'm going to scan in my own stuff. It doesn't seem as well suited for that.
True, true. Yeah. The guy who makes Scary Go Round, the Bobbins guy,
right?
You know, he uses Manga Studio or something. And I have to admit, he's good at using it, you know what I mean? It's like, he's good at it, you know, and whatever it is, it really suits his style. I kind of prefer his hand-drawn stuff, but that's just because I know it's hand-drawn, you know? It's like, so it is possible to do stuff with that, you know, that, with tools that doesn't lack character entirely. There we go. That's
right.
Like, yeah. Which is one of the problems that Flash animation has often had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have this little music video format just because if, you know, if I half-ass something or if it's not that interesting, well, I just did one the other day, I haven't posted it yet, but explaining how my technique of putting earplugs in and then pulling a toque over the earplugs and over my eyes for a super sleep helmet as a YouTube video on its own, who gives a shit? But as an introduction to a song, why not?
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, so I mean, you know, mostly what I did in California was just, you know, meetings and observation and, you know, final report and, you know, nothing much to say about the work aspect of it, and unfortunately that was just a giant aspect of it.
So in the end, though, everything went well? No
one... Yeah, in the end, I think I still, if anything, things went really well, and, not only am I not fired, I'm, you know, like...
I was going to say, any trip that ends with people not being extremely angry with you is probably good.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no, like, well, it's funny, as I left, right, you know, all the ladies in the office were like, oh, Brad is going, oh, you know, that was nice.